The truth.
I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist, you're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs, fuck you. War.
Good morning, and welcome to Rogue Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, August 16th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. Who would ever guess that we would experience the things that we're experiencing? But, you know, those that read the Bible, I think, kind of aren't surprised, I suppose. And so, for better or worse, here we are, dear comrades, right? I want to get to a clip here in a second, but first, just a reminder, you know, just because a billion people or more fall for it, fall prey or victim to it, doesn't mean the bandwagon effect is any less erroneous. Bandwagon effect, of course, is a logical fallacy. I've talked about logical fallacies over the years. A little bit recently, when James in Vancouver called in and mentioned non sequitur, which also is a form of formal logical fallacy. And if you're paying attention and you understand the context of that subject, then you realize that pretty much everywhere you go, you're experiencing non sequitur. And now in the COVID era, and it, you know, it was before that too, but not as, I would say, as virulent and pervasive a strain. But now in this, with this COVID nonsense, you know, there are memes going floating around on social media now that say to fight the variants, the CDC is recommending what didn't work in the first place, you know, to do again what. And Costco is rationing things and making their employees wear masks, which induces Stockholm syndrome and confirmation bias in the form of the IKEA effect and effort justification and those kinds of things. But most people do not understand how these things work. The bandwagon effect is another powerful influence. You know, could a billion Chinese be wrong? Absolutely. We could all be wrong. And as some people have wisely observed, the crowd is usually wrong. Mencken, H.L. Mencken, had a particular flair for pointing out the absurdity of, to paraphrase Mencken, the pathetic belief in the collective wisdom of individual ignorance. So we're watching this all unfold, and there are some interesting things, if you're familiar with history, that sort of emerge. Jacques Ellul, mentioned a time or two lately, you know, the guy that kind of told us about propaganda technique and the scientific manipulation of people. Jacques Ellul wrote, "People think that they have no right to judge a fact. All they have to do is accept it. Thus, from the moment that techniques, the state, or production are facts, or COVID, or vaccines, we must worship them as facts, and we must try to adapt ourselves to them. This is the very heart of modern religion, the religion of the established fact, the religion on which depend the lesser religions of the dollar, race, or the proletariat." So that's kind of an interesting concept. Similarly, or related, Larry sends me this morning this quote, which reads, "To effectively brainwash, see, religions have to have rituals, right? And most people don't realize that this technocratic malaise we live in is very religious and very ritualistic. You can see it in the attaching of things, words like science, climate science, for example, vaccine science. Again, even Peter Thiel knows that when you do that, when you attach science to something, it's probably not very scientific. To effectively brainwash and mind control a population, you first need fear. You need a ritual or ceremony. You then need a ritual or ceremony which relieves the fear. That ritual must be simple so anyone can do it. You must make average people feel like heroes," and how we've seen that word perverted and conscripted most recently in particular, "for doing exactly as they're told. The tyrant," and you can see it, the Olympic ceremonies with all of the team members wearing masks and things and pretending as though that's somehow patriotic and heroic, is an example of this absurdity. "The tyrant is best served by being in full control of the fear, plus manufacturing the ritual that removes the fear. That pre-manufactured ritual will in turn trick the public into participating in their own enslavement and brings them willingly into the iron grip of the tyrant." And I would add that, you know, in true Stockholm Syndrome fashion, they become the enforcement brigade as well. Everyone is crippled and weakened to a point of utter servile subjugation. And this is what we're seeing unfold in America right now. So before we really dive into all of this, I wanted to play a little clip. James Corbett, James Evan Pilato, New World Next Week, Corbett's interview 1656, and they titled it "Exposing the Deep State Octopus," which is, well, it's a hint, and so I won't reveal that fully. If you're not familiar, we'll play the clip, but some very interesting things happening. These are not new things. I would say that, for example, the story that James Evan Pilato mentions first, the Apple's plan to think different about encryption and scanning your photos in the cloud, and really all of the cloud services doing it, to hear that they're doing it sort of in concert and that they'll begin doing it lets you know that it's already been happening. So without further ado, let's give a listen to James Corbett and James Evan Pilato, interview 1656, New World Next Week, "Exposing the Deep State Octopus." Go ahead, please.
Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com. The FBI will disclose information on a rolling basis. We've got that story, plus Casolaro didn't kill himself, but first, the promise of software. Apple confirms it will begin scanning iCloud photos for child abuse images later this year, meaning what I bet probably means in a few weeks. Apple will roll out technology that will allow the company to detect and report known child sexual abuse material to law enforcement in a way it says will preserve user privacy. Apple told TechCrunch that the detection of child sexual abuse material, which has an acronym, of course, CSAM, is one of several new features aimed at better protecting the children who use its services from online harm, including filters to block potentially sexually explicit photos sent and received through a child's iMessage account. Won't somebody please think of the children that shouldn't have a smartphone in the first place? Another feature will intervene when a user tries to search for CSAM-related terms through Siri and search. Most clouds, and again, this is the kind of people who's like, if you're doing this just right through the search, you probably, of course, deserve to get busted. And again, James, crazy conspiracy theorists talk about child abuse, but of course, oh no, Apple, they're on top of it now. Another feature will intervene when a user tries to search for CSAM-related terms through Siri and search. Meanwhile, most cloud services, Dropbox, Google, which are the same thing, Microsoft, to name a few, already scan user files for content that might violate their terms of service or be potentially illegal, like CSAM. But Apple, of course, has long resisted scanning users' files in the cloud by giving users the option to encrypt their data before it ever reaches Apple's iCloud servers. Apple said its new CSAM detection technology, Neural Hash, instead works on a user's device and can identify if a user uploads known child abuse imagery to iCloud without decrypting the images until a threshold is met and a sequence of checks to verify the content are cleared. Neural Hash will land with iOS 15 for the mobiles and, of course, your desktop macOS Monterey, slated to be released in the next month or two, and works by converting the photos on a user's iMac or iPhone, they're not called that anymore, into a unique string of letters and numbers, of course, known as a hash. Anytime you modify an image slightly, it changes the hash and can prevent matching. Apple says Neural Hash tries to ensure that identical and visually similar images, such as cropped or edited images, result in the same hash. Select all squares with sexual predator. And EFF talking about it as well. Apple's plan to think different about encryption opens a backdoor to your private life. And I mentioned it, but like a lot of things, it's maybe worth mentioning again. Apple's plan for scanning photos that get uploaded into iCloud Photos is similar in some ways to Microsoft's Photo DNA, James, which I had never heard of, but of course that's perfect for Dr. Gates. The main difference is that Apple scanning will happen on device. It will happen within your device. And of course, the ability to add scanning systems like this has been a major ask by law enforcement the world over. We'll include links to an open letter signed by former Attorney General William Barr and all kinds of other Western governments. But that was just Orange Man Bad's Attorney General, right? What happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone, the billboards used to show. Kind of like Gulag said, don't be evil. Kind of like sending your nudes to Zuckerberg for safekeeping, right? Remember back March 2019, send your nudes to Facebook to prevent revenge porn, James. And it just keeps going on and on. And again, they'll use the fig leaf of, won't somebody please think of the children?
James, are you telling me that Apple's commitment to privacy was just a bunch of rich creamery butter? Never.
I think so.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. Well, okay, I hope people will go and read through the EFF article that we're linking up here, because they get straight into the heart of the privacy issues here without the distraction of the window dressing of it's for save the children, where, for example, in their article they write, all it would take to widen the narrow back door that Apple is building is an expansion of the machine learning parameters to look for additional types of content, or a tweak of the configuration flags to scan, not just children's, but anyone's accounts. That's not a slippery slope. That's a fully built system just waiting for external pressure to make the slightest change. And as we, I'm sure, as anyone who is watching this has seen over the past 18 months, any sort of media narrative over anything can be driven to make the once unthinkable, impossible, possible. And can you imagine whatever kind of domestic terrorist, extremist kind of false flag event could then justify them scanning through your files to look for this type of political wrongthink or something along those lines? Oh, that would never happen in the free and open Western democracies, right? Ha ha ha. No, this is a serious undermining of any pretense of privacy protection from Apple. And this is something that has been covered. I'll point to people to Naomi Brockwell's Odyssey channel, not her YouTube channel, of course, where she's been covering this recently. For example, actually, she recently, just a couple of weeks ago, before this was all announced, had a couple of videos, the worst messaging apps for privacy and the most private messaging apps, where she goes through some of the different features of the various messaging apps, including Apple's messaging system, and talks about the features that they have and whether or not they're privacy protecting and why you should or shouldn't be using them. So that's handy. But more specifically on this subject, she just recently had an interview up on her channel about Apple's mass surveillance tool for iPhones that goes into some degree of technical detail about this and what it means. So I will direct people in that direction. Long story short, of course they're going to use the fig leaf of this is about protecting the children, but it goes to underline, I think, something that you and I have been talking about for over a decade now, which is the cloud is, say it with me, just someone else's computer. That is absolutely to the heart of this matter, because at least the way they are publicly advertising these particular functions, that function for scanning your photos in device is only for the iCloud backup. It's only when you are backing up to iCloud that apparently that scan happens. So at least at this point, according to what they are saying in their technical specifications, if you turn off the iCloud backup, that particular feature won't be working, although they will still be invading the encrypted messages of any children's accounts. So anyway, there's a lot unpack here, but I think you get to the heart of the issue when you said that, well, maybe the answer is that the children shouldn't be having these unsupervised iPhone experiences and smartphone slave devices. Maybe if you're a parent who actually cares about your children and whether or not they're doing this type of thing, I don't know, maybe you should be thinking about that at the structural level of, do these kids need a phone? And if so, why? And under what circumstances? Now, let's leave all the parenting to Apple. I'm sure their machine learning algorithms can do a better job, right?
One of these days, I'll get my parents to use Wire, which I believe is still one of the better encrypted chat apps out there. Now I say it and watch. We'll get all kinds of emails. It's like, no, it's terrible. I'm pretty sure Wire is still pretty darn good. James, this kind of reminds me like Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes a year or so ago, basically busting on all the celebs in the audience. It's like, you work for companies that run sweatshops in China while they make movies and overtures about caring for the children. So you mentioned additional content. Yeah, exactly. Like, they could just maybe open the algorithms and it could spot all that terror-related MAGA jab news. And what, 2 weeks ago we talked about scanning of our text messages for misinformation, which again, James, I still find myself kind of thinking about that one, wondering, will you get stopped in the moment? You can't send that text because the CDC says blah, 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 or Fox News, blah, blah, blah. Super curious about that. Also, sidebar, today here in the States was the day, I guess, that the FCC was running another of their big emergency alert systems that get sent out to everybody's little fondle slabs and slave tracking devices. It's funny, it didn't seem like it actually worked. I asked a couple of people in the Media Monarchy chat today. I was like, hey, did anybody get the thing? And I don't think anybody got it. Oh, you Pepsi Democrats, you can't even pull off your terror alert scams. Meanwhile, in other Fangster-related news, the vampire is knocking at your door. Will you let them in? Is $10 enough for your palm print? Amazon thinks so. They're offering a $10 incentive. $10 to give your palm print to Amazon and sign up for Amazon One, a service that asks users to register their palm prints to make purchases at one of its retail outlets in the U.S. That is, of course, if you've been jabbed 9 times and you're allowed to leave your home. Providing Amazon with access to more data, biometric data in this case, would be a hot topic of debate considering Amazon's not-so-stellar history with user privacy and its access to user information in the first place. But James, I had to double-check to make sure it wasn't John Foster. It was Alan Dulles who said, "The American people don't read." Alexa, friend, are you going to give him your palm prints next? As we wonder again where our friends and family will draw the line in the sand, if ever. Our second segment on this New World Next Week, episode 455, is, of course, we are just now less than a month away from the 20th anniversary of that catalyzing catastrophic event, that blank check that continues to be cashed for, of course, endless wars of terror to this very day. U.S. signals it will release some still-secret files on Saudi Arabia and 9/11, the Biden administration, the one that just bombed Afghanistan again today. Make sure you to tell your friend about it. That Biden administration, under pressure from families of victims of 9/11, said on Monday that it intends to disclose some long-classified documents that the families think could detail connections between the government of Saudi Arabia and the hijackers who carried out the attacks. In a court filing and, of course, long-running litigation brought by the victims' families against Saudi Arabia, the Justice Department, more on them in a few minutes, said that the FBI recently closed a portion of its investigation into the terrorist attacks and was beginning a review of documents that it had previously said must remain secret, with an eye towards disclosing more of them. The FBI has decided to review its prior privilege assertions to identify additional information appropriate for disclosure, the department said in a letter to two federal judges in Manhattan overseeing the case. The FBI will disclose such information on a rolling basis as expeditiously as possible. The terse letter provided no further details about what additional information might become public or when disclosures would begin. I would guess, of course, they would drop them on the 20th anniversary. But James, are these going to be some redacted nothing burgers?
Well, that's certainly what we can expect coming from the FBI, at least in the sense that this is not going to be the signed and sealed confession letter of "I was in the bunker at the White House with the plunger." I mean, obviously. And there are many observations we can make along those lines with regards to this story, one of which that I've made several times over the years and gone into some detail talking, for example, to Kevin Ryan about the Get Into Saudi Arabia free card, which was embedded in the official 9/11 story and then redacted as a sort of blackmail looming over Saudi Arabia, which I also talked about with regards to the 28 pages, for example. That whole part of the story is... There are definitely political implications to that, and this is revolving around them. Another observation that could be made about this story in particular is that this revolves around the 9/11 victims' families and saying Biden shouldn't be attending any of the memorials and things because we're not getting those files that we were promised about Saudi Arabia's role. Okay, yeah, understandable. But, again, there's obviously politics that are played with 9/11 victims' families, and which ones get the attention, the media attention, and get to be the leaders of these movements that are taken seriously and that result in political actions, and which ones are completely marginalized and called crazy. And on that note, you will note that there was very recently a new profile up about Bobby McElveen Jr. In The Atlantic, talking about the McElveen family and their story of coming to terms with the loss of their son on 9/11, including Bob McElveen, who will be familiar to people in the 9/11 truth movement as someone who's been a part of that movement and speaking out about 9/11 truth for many, many years now, being a vocal 9/11 victim family member involved in bringing attention to these issues. So how is he treated, for example, in The Atlantic? Well, of course, they treat it essentially as this armchair psychologization. Why is Bob McElveen so hung up on 9/11 all these years later, and why does he spend so much time thinking about it? It's just his way of dealing with the loss of his son, and blah, 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 and trying to marginalize him that way, and then throwing in things about, for example, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, with whom he's been involved, essentially dismissing their concerns as a physical impossibility that is contradicted by what we saw on that day, and that sort of rhetoric. Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, which popularized the idea that jet fuel couldn't burn at a high enough temperature to melt beams into molten steel. This is, it should go without saying, contrary to all observable fact. And they essentially talk down and psychologize Bob McElvain, because it's okay to defecate on, I'm trying to think of the polite way of saying it, those crazy 9/11 victims' family members, but the good kind are the ones that are pressuring about Saudi Arabia. Why is that? So there are a lot of aspects to this story, but here's my hot contrarian take on this story. I think most people in our audience will probably already have that opinion, that this is just limited hangout, this is nothing burger, blah, 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 it's a cover-up, etc. Okay, can we move beyond that level of analysis? Because I am glad that over the past 15 years or so that you and I have been involved in the independent media space, we have seen, and to some degree, helped foster a broader understanding of some of these ideas that have now become, I think, part of the parlance of independent media space. Psychological operations, limited hangouts, controlled oppositions, gatekeeping, those sort of concepts are now, thankfully, working their way into the public consciousness. But at a certain point, I think they're used as lazy intellectual crutches to stop people from doing actual research and taking the bits and pieces that we can garner from actual documents that do get released, and then connecting those dots ourselves through further research, which is a time-consuming and laborious process, but there is no shortcut to understanding something of the scale, the scope, the magnitude of 9/11. And so to simply dismiss anything that could possibly come out of documents as, well, that's controlled and limited hangout, yes, but then you take those bits and you combine them with other bits that you've spent years and years researching, and you come to a better understanding of it. There is more to the story, and there is an aspect of Saudi intelligence that was involved in 9/11, and we should know more about it. So I'm not going to simply dismiss these documents before they're even released. I think there will probably be some bits in there that we can use to connect with other bits that we've learned along the way. I think that's the process of coming to a deeper understanding of these things. And so I'm positing we have to go beyond just calling everything a nothing burger and a limited hangout and a psyop. There's a deeper level of analysis that needs to go on, and unfortunately that requires actual research, which is a lot harder than just poo-pooing from the sidelines. Anyway, I will have more to say about that, and obviously more to say about 9/11 as we approach the 20th anniversary, but I just wanted to put that on the table.
James, I think, like I mentioned last week, maybe it's kind of like COVID. We should be open to these documents, because like they run their mouths too much about COVID, they actually run their mouths too much, and they let too much information out. So please, please release more information. And of course, people can decide whether or not it's just more junk or if it's new data points that we can add to the story we've been working on for almost 20 years. Also, James, pretty sure the Amazon Post said, don't do your own research. Also, I think every week we've been mentioning the phrase nothing burger. There will always be a comment from someone going, what on earth are you talking? What's a nothing burger? Nothing burger is a phrase that Project Veritas caught on tape from Van Jones talking about the bullcrap Russiagate story. So they basically go to a Democrat and go, hey, man, what's up with this whole Russiagate thing? He's like, it's a big bunch of nothing burger. That's the same Van Jones who signed a 9/11 truth statement and, of course, buckled like a belt and took it all back the second he was questioned by the Clinton News Network. Get over it, man. They got us. Yeah, pop psychology is super hot these days, and yes, it is true. Biden's Pentagon announced they conducted several airstrikes on Afghanistan today. Now, our final segment on this New World Next Week, episode 455. Sorry to disappoint you. Won't be a rant from me about how the Bonnaroo Music Festival just announced they'll require MAGA jabs for everybody. I've gotten really into calling them MAGA jabs. It makes a lot of the people super mad. It's like, nope, it's you took the MAGA jab. And James, I think those two things are the only scamdemic references on this episode 455 of New World Next Week, which feels pretty good, you know, nearly 2 years into 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I talked about it last week at the end of New World Next Week. I've been dropping lots of hints and clues in lots of different places, but the time is now. It is here. Media Monarchy presents Octopus as a radio play for the 30th anniversary.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My friend, yes, feel as their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, yeah, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, they don't all that use me stuff. I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, August 16th, 2021. We're listening to James and James, James Corbett, James Evan Pilato, interview 1656, New World Next Week. And again, the hinting, exposing the deep state octopus, which is an interesting subject and something that almost happens from time to time in different ways, I would say subtle and sort of nuanced ways, generally speaking, and then occasionally in very specific ways, and that's always subverted in a variety of ways, and that discussion is always sort of averted in the public square, basically. And that's very unfortunate, and it's a matter of timing. You know, it gets closer and closer, it seems, and I think that's part of the revelation of the method nonsense that we've been seeing, particularly over the course of the last 100 years or so, 150 years. Be that as it may, we're going to listen to the conclusion of interview 1656 with James and James. So without further ado, here you go.
Oh, it is here. Media Monarchy presents Octopus as a radio play for the 30th anniversary. Danny Castellaro, he was a freelance journalist who told his friends and family that he was close to cracking a case he called the Octopus, which he called the political conspiracy of the century, and that would be the 20th century. In August of 1991, tech journalist who was getting into this weird story about this software stolen by the Justice Department, in August of 1991, Danny Castellaro packed up his notes and headed to West Virginia to conduct some final interviews for his forthcoming book. Then, on August 10th, 1991, 30 years ago this week, Danny Castellaro was found dead in his hotel room in Martinsburg, West Virginia. His notes were gone, and of course the death immediately ruled a suicide. Last week, as I was sort of teasing this project, I said it connects to everything from Iran-Contra, BCCI, Oliver North, Rex 84, continuity of government. How about Fort Detrick, biowarfare? How about Coachella chemical weapons tests? And yes, the Justice Department stole this software using what is in the public record: trickery, fraud, and deceit. And even noted socialite Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, she's awaiting trial for her work with a guy who could have used high-tech AI software to evade capture, just like other intelligence-connected enemies like Saddam or Osama. Ghislaine Maxwell's Mossad agent dad, Robert Maxwell, helped steal the promised software, in his case, for Israel. Then, oh, whoops, he drowned. And James, as the tentacles keep stretching and grabbing onto all kinds of things, Biden's Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken's stepfather, Samuel Pizar, P-I-S-A-R, was a longtime lawyer and confidant of Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's dad. As I like to say, it is a rich tapestry. And this is a subject, James, the Octopus. You and I have researched and covered Requiem for the Suicided. You did two episodes, 209 and 210 of the Corbett Report broadcast podcast on Danny Castellaro, which even includes some of my own work. I interviewed Albert Lanier on The Octopus, a two-plus-hour, far-reaching interview. James, both of those bits are from over a decade ago. So originally, what I'm talking about here, Octopus, was a play, was a theatrical stage production originally produced in 1996 at Shepherd College, now Shepherd University, where my wife and I met. That original production in the summer of 1996 even actually featured real-life Alexa Friend as an intern. We've worked with the playwright, John Klein, my wife, Cassie. She adapted the stage play into a five-part radio play. She cast it, and she directed it. We have the permission of the Castellaro family, and after more than 2 years of work, it is all on the air this week, every day this week, at 2 p.m. Mountain Time in the usual old-time radio time slot. James, I've talked about the old-time radio shows that I play on the Media Monarchy radio show. We've got New Time Radio, the premiere of Media Monarchy's New Time Radio, a brand new radio play for the 30th anniversary of the loss of Danny Castellaro. James, I maybe even missed it myself. Somebody in the Media Monarchy chat shared a picture. I guess I was trying to tell you guys about the new project on a recent New World Next Week. I've got the Octopus books all spread out behind me that you can see on New World Next Week. So speaking of, folks watching this New World Next Week have one last chance to catch the fifth and final episode of The Octopus this Friday, the 13th, at 2 p.m. Mountain Time on MediaMonarchy.com/listen. Then the big question from all the people who have been listening to the episodes so far this week: why aren't you posting them? Why can't I download them? Well, a digital, deluxe digital package featuring all five episodes of The Octopus, original cover art by a very talented Media Monarchy member, and of course including all the supplemental audio, video, the PDFs, the documents, all those stories that we've collected over the years. A deluxe digital package will be available for sale in 1 month for all the folks that either missed it and or would like to support our work as Media Monarchy is branching out into whole new areas, James. That's why we were off the air for so long in June and July. By the way, James, of course, you and some other folks knew that's what we were up to. We were in West Virginia with a cast of West Virginia actors and voice talents in my longtime buddy Tony's recording studio in West Virginia. James, Tony and I even made the music for The Octopus. I get to play Jay Maskus' old drum kit on it since I couldn't get Kota Masson to do the score for it, I guess, James.
Sorry. Yeah, awesome. The best part about this is that, as you know, there have been a lot of people who have just started dipping their toes into these waters over the past year and a half who probably have no idea about the Octopus story. They are probably just learning about it for the first time right now. So hopefully this will be a great way of introducing a lot of people to this thing that, as you say, connects into all of the big conspiracies of the 20th century that were swirling around there. This is sort of a nexus point for all of those, and every single tentacle on that octopus is worth learning about in greater detail, whether it's BCCI or Fort Detrick or any of these other different things. There's so much to explore there. So it's a great way of focusing people's attention. I hope people are paying attention to it, and if they missed it this week, I hope they'll get the digital package.
Absolutely. I mean, people listening to episode 3 today, oh my God, I just heard about this story and I'm completely hooked. And that, again, that's really the idea. That's the whole thing. The story really does kind of focus on the Casolaro family and doesn't get in necessarily to a lot of the heavy-duty nuts and bolts of what is obviously, of course, a far-reaching, decades-long story. But I guess, James, maybe in some way it's our own sort of episode of Bart's People, using the sort of the human interest angle to get people into this story. And again, it's all documented. There are phrases and quotes within the play that are in the affidavits, that are in the public record. This is, on a very small level, oh, it's a play, it's all made up. It is all very much based on fact. So I'm pretty excited about it, James. Finally glad it is out there. And again, a big, huge thanks to my awesome wife, Cassie, for adapting it, for casting it, for directing it. It's a big new step for Media Monarchy. So in closing, sends us right back to my stream again, because the exclusive New World Next Week audio, before it is published anywhere, is also on my listener-supported stream at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. That would be Thursdays after the morning show. Morning show is on Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. And of course, as we always mention, you can support our work via my American Post Office box. The address is always down in the show notes, plus links to all the other ways, Stripe, Subscribestar, etc., so that people can continue to support fear-free, ad-free news, music, memes, and more. James?
All right. Excellent. Let's leave it there. Looking forward to doing it again next week.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Take care.
And there you have it. That's quite a bit of information. And again, one wonders how much of this all is revelation of the method kind of stuff. And speaking of fear, how much we are all sort of, you know, drawn into this choose your own dystopic terror adventure in various ways and from various different corners. It's just another bit of food for thought. So what can we do, though? You know, what is to be done, dear comrades? What is to be done? And when I sort of think about that, I think about the real world choices that we are all sort of confronted with on a daily basis. And that's an interesting thought, I think, because they're different perhaps, and yet very similar. And you know, again, as I went through last week, we are all sort of groomed and socially engineered and conditioned to behave like animals or psychologically damaged people, as even guys like Stephen Covey observed. You know, this is a pattern in Western society in particular. And so why is that? And is it possibly because that's the field of study that's been pursued by the anthropologists and sociologists, et cetera, and that knowledge and information has been curated and distilled to devise various ways and means to control and manipulate people unbeknownst to them? And that's why it works so well. You know, the psychologically injured will defend their kidnapper against the folks who would try to genuinely extricate them from the kidnapper's grasp. So it's a fascinating thing. So we're confronted with these choices. They're different, perhaps, but very similar in scenario planning, you know, war gaming, game theory sort of fashion. And if you're paying close attention, you can feel the nudge in so many things. Your planned sort of canned response to things. For example, I suppose, you know, one example, there's a letter that has been circulated by some folks that seems to be authentic. It was an internal letter from Stuart Weiss at Osiris Hardware. He owns Ace Hardware stores in a variety of Western Montana towns. And it's an interesting letter. So what happened? See, this person, you know, what is the response? A number of people, maybe I'll read the letter or some of it in the next hour, but a number of people who have seen the letter that was circulated internally and then leaked, you can find it on social media, apparently signed by Stuart Weiss. I think it's legitimate. I haven't vetted it entirely, but it appears to be legitimate. So, you know, and you can find his Facebook profile with a simple search, Stu Weiss in this case, CRS hardware guy. So the planned response is that you will boycott a place like Ace Hardware. Eventually, what will happen? The folks who are courageous and right-minded enough, I suppose, to keep working, I don't know exactly how to explain. I really don't quite understand how it is that people have not been working for so long. I mean, these stimulus payments and unemployment and things, those only go so far. Those don't fully replace a person's income, presuming they are gainfully employed before those kinds of things replace or, you know, augment their income or whatever. But to see all of these places, I've seen several businesses, even chains, close. They say temporarily until they can hire people. Essentially, this is a bizarre phenomenon. It's sort of the reverse of 1929, I suppose, in a sense. But I think part of the planned reaction is, as you can imagine, folks want to boycott Ace Hardware, and that's the end of that. But not so fast. Wait, not so fast. The employees who are there didn't write the letter. Many of them are very opposed to it, apparently, from what I can discern. So that's, you know, a boycott of the organization or the institution is unfair to those folks who are loyal to their fellow townspeople, for instance, and continuing working. Similarly, I think what's interesting is, you know, Costco is rationing things again and forcing their employees, their staff to wear masks and things, which is a pervasive and I would say pernicious form of social engineering. And it's amazing how obtuse the folks who think that the vaccines and things are working so well without question, without exception. It's amazing how tinfoil hat they sound, how crazy conspiratorial. You know, have you seen the VAERS data and the explosion in VAERS reporting? And there's a suppression of that reporting in addition, which seems to validate the Harvard study that says only 1% of that data is actually reported. And, you know, all of the other information, the celebrities that have reported side effects, things like that, it's pretty interesting. Anyway, get back to that thought when we come back. Stick around. We're at this break.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Choke man to make me bleed.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, August 16th, 2021. So, just a little kind of food for thought, perhaps. You know, what is to be done, dear comrades? Jokingly, I ask. By the way, the Danny Castellaro story is something that, if you're not familiar with, probably everybody should familiarize themselves with. I can hear you, Julie. I don't know if everybody else can, but for what it's worth. So, that's ironic too, by the way. That's very ironic. That's a funny little, I don't know if you heard that in the audience, but I mentioned Danny Castellaro and we hear Julie in the background saying, did you give him the check? So, that whatever dialogue is going on, that's funny because that corresponds directly to the subject of Danny Castellaro. The Promise Insulov scandal and everything else, I mean, that's kind of what you would say, I guess. You know, there's the question about who gets paid and did everybody get paid, and then everyone should be in prison that was involved, but or perhaps worse. Anyway, what do we do? So I mentioned that Costco is again rationing things and masks, you know, that in relation to the Ace Hardware story. And, you know, do we punish each other essentially? This reminds me of what happened in the mortgage industry, you know, after the so-called subprime contagion, which was entirely engineered, as I have detailed in the past. What ended up happening was the street level mortgage originators. And in this case, will the employees of Ace Hardware and Costco and places like that be punished? Will Amazon basically control all distribution of goods across the country in true technocratic fashion? Let in. I'll stick around, second hour coming up after the short break. Be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.